a good move. Why aren't you dancing?
Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden.
Yoo-hoo, running crew, welcome to Dancing is Forbidden. I am Ronnie, lifelong fan of and one-time voice on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And on this podcast, we are watching through and talking about every Aqua Teen episode, one episode at a time. And the episode we are watching through and talking about this week is Season 4, Episode 13, Carl Wash.
I am Carl Brain.
Carl.
No, Carl's Brain.
I am Carl Brain.
No, 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 no. Different Carl, okay?
Carl Wash making its official Adult Swim debut on March 25th, 2007. And this is an episode with some history behind it in terms of its airing history. We'll get more into it later, but the short of it is that the episode did debut in a rough state at the end of 2006, but then it officially aired in March of 2007. So we're going with 2007 for our pop culture segment, because why not? Let's jump ahead a little bit, and that making this the only Aqua Teen episode to debut in 2007. So I don't think I saw this one when it officially aired. It's possible I did, but I don't remember. But I think the first time I saw it was in 2008, because a girl I was dating at the time, I've mentioned her many times on the podcast, her dad had the Aqua Teen DVDs. He was a big fan. And so around the time that DVD came out, she showed it to me. And I mentioned this in Hand Banana because that's when we watched Hand Banana, a Dickisode, and I think we watched Carl Wash. And I really liked this one. It felt more in line to earlier Aqua Teen to me, which is what I was more familiar with at that point. It felt more like a season two episode as opposed to Dickisode and Hand Banana, which are much more about kind of pushing the boundaries of Aqua Teen. This one, more focused on my man Meatwad. We got some good Carl moments and some good moments from the other Aqua Teens as well. Just a solid episode, one I've been excited to dive into on the podcast since we started doing it here. So today we'll be diving into the history of this episode. I have a little bit of correspondence from Aqua Teen co-creator Dave Willis and Aqua Teen art director Bob Pettit here. And I'm also going to be telling you how I stole Jim Fortier's glory. Well, it wasn't really my fault, but I stole his glory. He is the voice of Carl Jr. here. I did him dirty. I feel bad about it. We'll get into that and so much more. But as always, we've got some other stuff to talk about first. Except we kind of really don't. I really don't have any Aqua Teen news for you this week. There's not a whole lot going on. But there is something I want to tell you about. I found this amazing article over on Medium.com. It was written by Ruben Medina. And I think the way that Medium works is like anybody could publish there. So Ruben is just like this huge fan of Aqua Teen, I take it. This article is 6 things that writers can learn from the creators of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And I was blown away by this. It's very well written. To give you some headlines from it, the first point is draft without judgment. The second point is find value in what's rejected. And the third point is find inspiration in day-to-day life. There are 3 more points here, but there's so much great like supporting text to this. I thought it was one of the best written things about Aqua Teen I've ever seen. And the sources here are just top tier. Ruben's pulling interviews from the guys from Vulture, from the AV Club, from Collider. Ruben even pulled from an interview from this podcast called Dancing is Forbidden. I've never heard of it, but it sounds like the host on this is really sexy. So Ruben, great job with the sources on this. Yeah, Ruben doing an awesome job here. I don't know how to reach out to Ruben to say this. I can't remember my Medium login, so that's why I can't just drop a comment here. But Ruben, if you're listening, great job. I wish I could find this person on social media, but definitely check it out if you're a writer. Even if you're not, it's just a great piece pulling all these sources from Aqua Teen and just written with love. Check it out. So I want to tell you about that really quickly, just from me to you. This is our last episode of season 4 of Aqua Teen. So I wanted to say, hey, thanks for sticking around for another season. Excited to keep on going with the show. This is considered the end of the golden era of Aqua Teen. We'll see if that's true or not. I know there's some really great episodes to come in Aqua Teen. So we're not done with the fun episodes yet, but wanted to say thanks again. But all right, let's jump into 2007 here. What the heck was happening when Carl Wash debuted? Living in a sewer and trying to kill a rat, all the way to the top of the box office this week, we have TMNT. That stands for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if my research here is correct. That film's bringing in $24 million this week. And the film has a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb and a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. It doesn't seem like that great of a film. So I jumped in and was seeing where TMNT super fans would rank this film amongst the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. And this one typically resided around the middle, maybe towards the top a little bit more, but it didn't seem to be a lot of people's favorite. But it didn't seem like the worst Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and I haven't seen any of these movies, so for all I know, that's not saying a whole lot. I don't really know. But checking the IMDb reviews, though, I found it interesting that the written reviews were actually pretty positive that people who saw the film, you know, had to say about it. The tagline on this one is Raising Shell in 2007. I fucking hate that. I hate that tagline. You might be asking, well, Ronnie, Mr. Smarty Pants, then what would you say the tagline should be? I got a tagline. I would say, the Turtle Boys are back. That should have been the tagline because this is the first movie in the franchise in 14 years. And this is also the first non-live action film in the franchise. So the Turtle Boys are back, but in, you know, an animated state, a computer animated state, a 2007 computer animated state. You can draw your own conclusions there. Another interesting tidbit for you is, according to James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Leonardo, several characters had already been recorded using established voice artists before the Weinstein Company became involved with the film, at which point the characters were revoiced by celebrities such as Sarah Michelle Gellar, Chris Evans, and Patrick Stewart. So they were going with a more traditional voice actor route here until the Weinsteins got a hold of it and changed the voices. And what else can those Weinsteins mess up? I mean, Jesus Christ, my knowledge of them ends at 2007, by the way. So I'm guessing this is as bad as it gets. Some good news for you, though. There is a shared cast member between TMNT and Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And that fella is Mr. John DiMaggio, who you may know him as Bender on Futurama, but on Aqua Teen, he played the Scorpions in Season 2, Episode 14, Spirit Journey Formation Anniversary, under the name B.B. Leland. And we will see more John DiMaggio going forward with Aqua Teen. So, John, he's in Aqua Teen, he's in TMNT, but when it comes to anthropomorphized things that normally don't talk, I'm going with Aqua Teen over the Turtles. I'm sorry, but that's just where I draw the line. I also got a little bit of TV news for you this week. Cartoon Network's Toonami commemorates its 10th anniversary. So happy 10 to Toonami, I guess, back at the end of March 2007. But pretty momentous, that being Adult Swim's older brother in a way. So that's our film and television. What was our top album the week that Carl Wash premiered? Well, okay, hold on. I'm cheating here because technically our top album this week is the Notorious B.I.G. with Greatest Hits. And no disrespect to Biggie here, but that doesn't really scream 2007 to me. And this being also the kind of like the 10th anniversary of Biggie's death. But this Greatest Hits compilation got a lot of flack. It didn't have a lot of his big hits on it. So I went back a week, and this album does scream 2007 to me. Can we make this something good? It's Daughtry, baby. Yeah, you saw him on American Idol. He didn't win, but he did win at real life, becoming a pretty successful act. We have Daughtry with the self-titled album. I guess Daughtry technically is a band, but Chris Daughtry is the singer, the fella from American Idol Season 5. This album came out back in November of 2006, and then throughout 2007, it popped up as our top album a couple of times, including the previous week of March 17th, and I'm assuming it's our second top album of March 24th. This album did very well, and I listened through it for this podcast episode, and I can see why, because there's really like three big singles on here that you can still hear today. I played It's Not Over, the album opener, and that song just fucking rips, okay? I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but as like a radio pop song, that song is just really enjoyable. I actually listened through the album and then went back to that song. Again, I didn't appreciate it at the time, and I'm not like chasing it down to listen to it these days, but I did appreciate it there for what it was, a very well-written pop rock song. But there's also Home, the song that he sings about he's going home. There's also Feels Like Tonight, where you guessed it, It Feels Like Tonight. Some big songs on here that I forgot about. So congrats to Daughtry here for, you know, being somebody on American Idol who actually goes on to have a pretty big career in music. And we've talked about American Idol and its winners before on the podcast. And I'm curious if we will see any more kind of popping up. I feel like this is around the time when American Idol really starts losing its relevancy. But I could be wrong. We'll find out together, hand in hand, digging through Aqua Teen as we do. So let's jump in and see what our top single this week was. Our top track on the Billboard 100 singles charts this week is Fergie with Glamorous featuring Ludacris, who we had to cut off there. I'm sorry, Ludacris. I really didn't want to, but I had to. Fergie, of course, being the woman member of Black Eyed Peas. I don't think she's with them anymore, but she had her own very successful solo career with this record here that Glamorous comes from. That record being The Duchess, which comes out in September of 2006, on my birthday, actually. Holy cow, happy birthday to me there. What a gift. Thank you, Fergie. But Glamorous, a song, like, I'm sure I've heard it, but I really couldn't remember it. Now, the other singles before Glamorous include London Bridge and Fergalicious, which are two songs I definitely know. Not as familiar with Glamorous, but it's a pretty song. It's nice. I enjoyed it. I was playing it when I was doing my research here earlier, and my wife heard it, and she was a pretty big Fergie fan at the time, so she was like singing along to it, but I was like, oh, I don't really recognize this one. Maybe that's my bad. I never owned The Duchess. You'd think if it came out on my birthday, I should have gotten a free copy of it, but they didn't quite hook me up. But even though this is Fergie's solo record, will.i.am was still heavily involved in the production of it, will.i.am being one of the other Black Eyed Peas. So it's kind of like they went off and did their own thing and said, all right, bye, other guys who nobody knows the names of. We're going to go do this other successful record. See you later. So last but not least, what is our top alternative single this week? Trust me and take my hand. Our top alternative track this week, we've got 3 Days Grace with Pain. And surprisingly, I don't entirely recognize this song. I know who 3 Days Grace are, but I don't know. I guess, I don't know. This doesn't really ring any bells hearing this song. The song is called Pain, and the lyrics, they're talking about some pain here, and a standout lyric is, I'd rather feel pain than nothing at all. And at first when I heard that, I eye-rolled so fucking hard, I did a little Eskimo kiss on the front of my brain there, give myself a little tickle. But then I looked into the lyrics a little bit more. I guess this is actually about the singer's addiction to painkillers. So in that context, I actually don't mind the lyric for how cheesy it appeared to be, because in that instance, yeah, he's saying, all right, these painkillers are all fine and dandy, but you know what? They're not good for me. I guess I'd rather feel the pain than be numb to everything on pills. And that's today's lesson on this podcast. Don't get addicted to painkillers. So 3 days grace, rocking out there, doing their thing. Hey, someone's got to do it. So that is our music this week. Moving on to our video games. First of all, I have some general news here for you. 6 days before Carl Wash premieres here in its final state, a little website called Justin.tv is launched. And you're asking, who's Justin? I don't care about him. Well, if you're a gamer here, have you heard of Twitch.tv? Because this is the predecessor to Twitch.tv, which is now the global giant of video game streaming. Well, Justin TV was basically that before Twitch. And I think Justin.tv turned into Twitch.tv. So the people who made it, like, eventually it got turned into Twitch. And I say that because my Twitch account started as a Justin.tv account. I made my Justin account at some point in the late, like, 2000s, early 2010s, because I wanted to do some streams of myself DJing music. And that was, like, the site to do that at the time. There was no Twitch. Like, nowhere else really had any live streaming. And I feel like such a goddamn old person saying that. But it was the truth. Like, live streaming is a pretty... It's not new, but in its current form of, like, actually being able to stream stuff at high quality, it's pretty new. And this is the birth of that back in 2007. Justin TV is going up, and I think it was focused on video games, but there was a lot more going on there as well. So Justin.tv, what games coming out this week can you be streaming on Justin.tv? Well, I'm seeing Cooking Mama Cook-Off is coming to the Wii this week. I'm sure that's a good one. I don't recognize a lot of the games here. We have kind of a hefty list, but none of them are ringing any bells, except for Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl comes out just 2 days before Carl Wash here. And I played a bit of that game when I was doing some streaming on Twitch. One of my viewers bought me this game because they wanted me to play it. And I played through some of it, and it was fun, but it's pretty difficult. Basically, it's a post-apocalyptic Eastern European setting kind of game. There's, like, zombies that you're kind of fighting with, but you're also fighting with like military people and things like that. A pretty unforgiving game, but I did enjoy what I played of it until I got kind of fed up and stopped playing it. But until that point, it was a good time and something I probably would go back to. And this is kind of topical because in 2024 here, as I record this, they are making Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. So they're making a follow-up to this game all these years later now. Holy smokes. I can't help but notice the title is different. It's not Chernobyl, it's Chernobyl. What does that mean? I don't know. I guess I'll have to play the game and find out when it releases. But the only game I'm interested in right now is Stalker 3, Heart of Chernobyl. That's a little global grilling joke for you. This is an Aqua Teen podcast, after all. So there it is, a little taste on our lips. We're wetting our whistles with some 2007 pop culture. Now, Colon Movie Film for Theaters comes out just a month later, and if you're a patron, we covered that back in 2022, so I already went over the pop culture for that week over there, so this isn't really our first time getting into 2007, but boy oh boy is it nice to do it. But alright, it is March 25th, 2007, and you're me, you're young Ron back in 2007, 13-year-old Ron, and at this point, I'm sorry to tell you, 13-year-old ladies in northeastern Illinois back when this episode of Aqua Teen came out. Young Ron's off the market at this point, all right? I've got my first girlfriend at this point, and we've been dating for over a month now. And I remember I asked her out online on MySpace first, and she said yes. But then I just felt bad about that. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. So eventually I asked her officially in person, too. This is being back in February. And she said yes as well. So hooray, good on me for doing that. Although I think I said, will you go out with me? Which is a bad way to ask somebody out. But I remember this being days before Valentine's Day. So it was kind of awkward, like, oh, well, do I get her a gift? I don't know. It just seemed like too soon to do that. I don't think I ended up getting her anything. Or maybe I did. I might have like written her a note or got her something small. Because like we just started dating a couple days before that. But it's all right. She gave me a little teddy bear. You might be thinking, well, Ronnie, you piece of shit. She got you something. You didn't potentially get her anything. Well, don't worry, because I remember that teddy bear. And she told me this up front. She got it previously for her ex-boyfriend because they just broke up not that long beforehand. So I guess kind of a rebound there, but it's all right. We were together, I think, for almost 2 years because we started dating in seventh grade and then we broke up like halfway through freshman year of high school. And by when I say we broke up, she broke up with me. But the reason I'm saying this is because she was my best friend for a long time. And this is the same girl I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast and who I've mentioned on this podcast a few times now, as she was the one with the dad who was the Aqua Teen fan. So it was because of her I got to see Colin Movie Film for theaters. It was because of her I got to see like these episodes of Aqua Teen, because I didn't have these DVDs. Like, I didn't have the money for that, but her dad did, so we got to watch them. But also, she was the first person I was really good friends with who I had a ton of things in common with, like Aqua Teen, but also we both loved music. She played guitar, so it's because of her that I really got into playing music and taking music seriously, and just all sorts of stuff. So, point being, this was a very exciting time in my life when this episode of Aqua Teen came out. Lots of new experiences, lots of great memories, but unfortunately, no memories of watching Adult Swim on this night. I must have been too busy changing my MySpace profile song or something. So, what am I missing on Adult Swim this night? First of all, I want to tell you, we've got a few Colin Movie Film for Theaters advertisements that are playing throughout this past month or two, hyping up the film that comes out in April. No surprise there. So our night starts at 10 p.m. We have Futurama with the episode Jurassic Bark. This being, for me, a very, very classic episode of Futurama. It's the one where Fry has this dog that, like, you know, in Futurama, Fry is from the past, so we see this dog in the past, like, waiting for him to come back after he gets trapped in a, like, a cryogenic freezer thing or whatever the storyline of Futurama is. The point being, this episode made me cry so much as a kid. A classic Futurama episode, but not a new one because that came out in, like, the early 2000s. So, moving on, at 10:30 p.m., we have Family Guy with Bill and Peter's Bogus Journey. Got some Bill Clinton in that episode, this being a new one for Adult Swim. At 11 p.m., we have Robot Chicken with The Book of Corin, or Corrine, or whatever. We've talked about that on the podcast, so it's not a new one. 11:15 p.m., we get this episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force with Carl Wash. Of course, a new one, or at least we'll get into it. A new one in its final state here. 11:30 p.m., we're back to an old one with Metalocalypse Death Fam. After that, 11:45 p.m., a show that I love, Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job, with new episode Abstinence. And this episode, we've got some Aqua Teen alums. We've got David Cross, Will Forte, two powerhouses right there. This is the one where David Cross is like a pizza delivery boy and there's some blonde chick and they're like mirroring a porno or spoofing a porno, basically. But it's just very strange, very Tim and Eric, with the whole pizza delivery boy aspect. Also, the great Maria Bamford is in this one. Love me some Tim and Eric. Excited to cover it on the Patreon, so I'll shut the hell up there. At midnight, we have our last new episode of the night. We have Saul of the Mole Men with What's Happening Down There. Don't know much about it. Something tells me there's not going to be a lot of demand for that one on Patreon. So moving on. The rest of our night, these are not new episodes, but some great shows. At 12:15 a.m., we have Moral Oral with Pleasure. 12:30 a.m., Frisky Dingo with XPO. 12:45 a.m., an old one here, C-Lab 2021 with Chickmate. And then 1 a.m., Home Movies with Brendan Gets Rabies, a fun episode. 1:30 a.m., Space Goes Coast to Coast with Anniversary. And 1:45 a.m., The Brack Show with Hippo. So a bit of a classic Adult Swim lineup here. And I think in Ezekiel I was talking about how, oh yeah, you know, at the end of 2006, we have kind of a newer Adult Swim lineup. But here, Adult Swim's not forgetting about their classic shows. They're bringing them back. Brack Show's here, Space Ghost, Home Movies, C-Lab. You can't complain. A solid lineup. I'm not mad about it, and I would be even less mad if we jumped in and talked about Carl Wash. So let's go do it. Check it out. Y'all a bunch of dumbasses, gonna get your ass whooped. Then you go to my Patreon and get your exclusive episodes over there. That is patreon.com/dancingisforbidden. Unless you're a dumbass, then don't go over there. But if you're not, then you're typing it in as we speak. And you know who typed it in previously in the past? This is a historical document here. We have Liv and Tegan signing on in the past. And now it is the future where I say, thanks for doing that. Appreciate any support on the podcast. Your support directly helps me make this podcast, allows it to continue. Do you like that Aqua Teen has a podcast? Oh, well, yes, I do. That's why I'm still listening this far in. Well, then, goddammit, put your money where your mouth is, and your mouth is on patreon.com/dancingisforbidden. Tastes good, doesn't it? Mmm, yeah.
Coming up next, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Carl Wash making its Adult Swim debut on March 25th, 2007. This episode airing with a TV-14L rating for language. Ooh, scary. But okay, let's get into the history on this one before we go any further, because there's a bit of history here, as I said up top. And this is the second episode after Rabot, the first episode of Aqua Teen, to air in an unfinished state first, like a stealth airing, and then later being officially premiered. So it stealth aired on December 22nd, 2006 at 3:30 in the morning. And this rough cut, it's not like drastically different from the finalized version, is my understanding. Apparently, there's just some parts that aren't animated. There's not as much audio, like, for the sweetening, like the background noises and stuff like that. It's just what it sounds like, a rough cut. However, I did read that supposedly Dave Willis re-recorded his voice lines as Carl Brain, who is one of the villains in the episode. I have forum threads of people talking about that. We'll get into it a little bit further once we get into the episode. But I do want to say I could not find this rough draft. Like, I guess it's lost media at this point. It's probably sitting around on somebody's dusty old VHS tape somewhere, but I couldn't find it online, and I also was scrubbing through commercials from that time to see if I could find a commercial for Carl Wash, and was not able to. So, a bit of a bummer, but we do know a tiny bit about it. Worth mentioning also about the airing of this one is that apparently it was supposed to officially debut on January 7th of 2007, but that ended up not happening. And there is a rumor that it also aired on January 21st in its rough state, but there's no confirmation of that. I've seen people discrediting that. So just a couple extra trivia bits to throw in for you. Who's on this episode, though? We've got the usual suspects: Carrie Means as Frylock, Dana Snyder as Master Shake, Dave Willis as Meatwad, Carl, and Carl Brain, one of the villains, and then Mr. Jim Fortier as Carl Jr., who is Carl Brain's son. And Jim, we've talked about him on the podcast. He worked on Space Ghost Coast to Coast with Matt and Dave, and then he went on to start the Brack Show while Matt and Dave were doing Aqua Teen, and then Dave Willis and Jim Fortier eventually made Squidbillies in 2005. We've talked about Jim on the podcast before. He's one of the best in the biz, all right? Glad to see him popping up on this episode. He does a great job as Carl Jr. The voice is so funny. But to address these characters really quick, Carl Brain and Carl Jr., while they are new to Aqua Teen, they are not new characters. These characters actually date back to a Space Ghost Coast to Coast episode called Sham Brain, which aired in 1999. So these characters are 8 years old at this point, or at least almost. And Dave and Jim played them in that Space Ghost episode, and they're reprising them here in this Aqua Teen episode. So these characters are not new. And in fact, we covered Sham Brain over on the Patreon for this very occasion, because I wanted to spend some time with the origin of these characters, the fun way that they fuck around with Space Ghost. It's a classic Space Ghost episode. So if you're a patron, go check that out. I'm not going to get too much into the history of these characters because of that, because we spent an hour talking about them over there. But I wanted to mention it here, and that is the reason that if you have the Volume 5 DVD, which is the DVD set that this episode is on, they also include the Chambrain episode of Space Ghost, because it's the same characters in both episodes. So, very cool. The last thing I got to say about this one, on the ones and twos, we have a double duo here. Yet again, Mr. J. Wade Edwards and Ned Hastings are rocking on this one. When you see Jay and Ned, you know you're in for a good time, and that is what we are in for. So let's jump into Carl Wash here. We open in on a scene we've never had before. Lil Meatwad here, he's looking for a job. So our establishing shot is in the Aqua Teen's living room. Meatwad's on the floor with a newspaper. He's got a blue ink pen, and he's on the newspaper here. We can't see any of the text. There's no images on it. But we see there's a lot of circles on the newspaper, and then some of them are crossed out, X'd out, and Meatwad's looking for a job. Master Shake is sitting on the green chair in the living room. The TV's off, so it's funny that I guess Shake is just sitting there watching Meatwad do this, and they're going to have some discussion on Meatwad's job hunt.
Hey, here's one. Looking for dollars? Are you gullible and stupid as hell? You may qualify to be part of our dangerous experiment. Bring your resume, wallet, social security, ATM, and all credit cards to Carl's Car Wash. Minorities need not apply, or we gonna sue your balls to the wall. That sounds promising.
That job is perfect for you.
So a batshit insane job description here. I like that the employer, they're going to sue any minorities that try and apply. And Meatwad says that's perfect. You would think that Meatwad qualifies as a minority, but I guess not in this universe, especially once you see who owns the car wash here. But Shake being very supportive here of Meatwad, I can't help but notice Meatwad circled 10 things on this newspaper that we can see. He crossed out two of them. That leaves 8. And the one that he's reading from is a circle right in the middle of the page. So I guess he came around to the center. Maybe he started at the top, went to the bottom, worked his way to the middle. Why not? Isn't that how you're supposed to read Japanese manga? I'm not really sure. I remember I was a kid and I was hanging out with a friend from school and he was reading One Piece and he tried to show me how you read it. I'm like, I'm out, dude. Fucking, what is this shit? Whose idea was this to read all topsy-turvy? It's like I'm in an episode of Pee-wee's Playhouse. I like seeing Meatwad, job hunt in a newspaper, something that probably still happens today to some extent, but not quite as much. Like, I don't know, I haven't seen a newspaper in like 7 years, but I have to imagine there are still jobs listed in them, but this certainly is not the main way of getting a job these days. Nowadays, you go on Indeed, you sign up for job notifications, then you ignore all the emails in your inbox about them because you know you're not going to get that job. But that's the exact opposite for Meatwad here because, baby, he's getting that job. I love the way that this is just cut because we go from Meatwad looking for a job to now just boom, he has the job. Like, we don't see him apply, we don't see that whole process, which I wish we could. I would love to see that onboarding process with these brain characters. But regardless, we then cut to outside of an old dilapidated car wash. It's kind of off in the distance, and we have Meatwad down by the side of the road, and there's not even a sidewalk or anything. It's not like he's downtown somewhere just on the street trying to get people to come in on the sidewalk. He's like on the side of like a freeway, basically, trying to catch people's attention as they zoom past him here. It's very dangerous. Meatwad's out there with his jam box, and at first he's dressed up kind of like the Statue of Liberty. He has the hat, the torch, and the tablet thing that it's holding. I don't know. He's got those, and he's trying to convince people. Eventually, he'll start to do his thing here, and he will turn into some different shapes. You know that Meatwad can do that. You saw it in the intro to the episode. They haven't really played with Meatwad turning into things this season a whole lot, so it's fun to see it here, that kind of throwback to earlier Aqua Teen episodes when he did it a bit more. So he'll do some shapes in front of the old dilapidated car wash on the side of the freeway. You know this is going to go well, right?
Oh, come on, get your car wash on, come on, get your car wash, get it on, come on, get your car wash on, say, wax on, wax off, hot dog, we want you to get your car washed. Hey, look at this igloo. Now go on and get your car washed. Come on, y'all. Somebody get a car wash. Thanks for the beverage.
Meatwad, report to brain quarters. Meatwad, report to brain quarters.
Oh, shoot. I'm in it now.
So that is Meatwad getting called over to brain quarters over the PA system. I'm surprised the PA works on this building because, again, it's so run down. During that scene, too, somebody out of their car, they throw a cup at Meatwad, hitting him in the face, gets some soda on his face. But Meatwad, he's an optimist. He thinks they're just giving him a drink or something. The person driving also yells jackass, and it's clearly some audio from Carl. This being the same jackass that we heard just 3 episodes ago in Bart Oates.
Enjoy San Francisco, pansy! I hope you tear your ACL, jackass!
Jackass! Obviously, I don't think it was supposed to have been Carl. It did not look like Two Wicked driving past, but a fun little connection there. Meatwad here, presumably he's in trouble. He's getting called by his boss to come inside. Before we head inside, though, I want to let you know that the music that Meatwad was dancing to is called Hard Work Song. It was composed by Martin Cook. And as always, thank you to Video Killed the Radio Star for finding that over on YouTube. And there will be a link to all of these production songs in the description to this episode. So check it out if you want to hear these songs in their full form. So Meatwad is going to be inside of the rundown car wash now. And the inside looks as rundown as the outside does. The walls are wood paneling, similar to the Aqua Teen's house, except they're a lot more scuffed up. There's scratches all over. They're in bad shape. Same thing with the floor. It looks to be concrete, maybe, but there's a bunch of pieces missing on it. And it's not an ideal working environment, but it is a car wash, I guess. You know, what do you really need? We see in the background a big window where we can see into the car wash, like, because it's an automated process. We'll get to that later in the episode. We also have some vending machines on the wall in terms of, like, things you could buy for your car. And then we see Meatwad here talking to his boss. There are 2 characters here. One is just a giant brain. Okay, you know what a brain looks like? Think of a drawing of a brain. That's one of the characters. That's all it is. The other one is smaller, a tiny bit lighter shade of pink, and it has 2 googly eyes on it as well as a cap on its head, but the cap is, it's like alternating colors between green, yellow, red, and then the bill is blue. It's like a kid's cap, because this little brain is a kid. We have Carl Brain and Carl Jr. Carl Brain isn't going to be too happy with Meatwad's shapes, and as we will hear in this clip, Meatwad really doesn't have that many of them.
We've been open 6 months and had not one customer.
You don't think it's... It ain't my dancing, is it?
Yes, it is your dancing. Show me your shapes.
Oh, I got a ton. Here, check this out. Hot dog. Igloo. Igloo. Hot dog. Igloo. Igloo. Igloo.
Those are not enough shapes. No one will wash their car here because of you.
Well, I got more shapes. I mean, come on. I know all sorts of shapes.
Hot dog.
I better go home and practice me some shapes.
Yes, you will.
So, Meatwad, he kind of like cartwheels out of there as the hot dog shape. He doesn't turn back into his normal form and leave. He just starts like... Again, the best way I could describe it is like a cartwheel, but he's a hot dog. It's very, very funny here, but a lot of funny things going on this scene. Jim Fortier as Carl Brain, what the fuck is that? It reminds me of Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Like, he just talks so fast. Carl Jr. is saying stuff. You can occasionally pick it out. Like, he's saying, like, yeah, you better go. Like, that's what he's telling Meatwad, but he just says it so quickly and keeps repeating himself and stumbling over himself. It's just so hilarious. We learn, though, that the car wash has been open for 6 months. They haven't gotten a single customer, which is insane. That's actually almost impressive that not one person just kind of stumbled on in there. So I don't know if the implication is that Meatwad has been working there for 6 months or what the situation exactly is. Of course, it doesn't exactly matter. But good on Meatwad here. He's taking some initiative. He got himself a job. This episode almost being like the antithesis of season 3, episode 7's Robo-Sitter. And that episode, Shake and Frylock get jobs at the mall, while in this episode, Meatwad's the one getting a job. So kind of cool the way that they play with that. And this job so far has seemed perfect for Meatwad. His job up until this point, we'll see later in the episode, he apparently has more responsibilities. But at this point, his job is to dance on the side of the road and get people to come in, which I think that is something that Meatwad is kind of born, or I guess you could say made for. I don't know that he was ever born, but this is perfect for Meatwad. He loves to dance. He can turn into different shapes, but as we heard, these shapes, not quite enough. We're going to go back to the Aqua Teen's house. We have Meatwad. He is in the living room, and we're going to get a little scene here where he's going to try and turn into the chair, and he's not quite going to pull it off. It'll be a dramatic reveal where we will just zoom in on his face and then eventually pull back out to see that he assumingly has turned into the green chair, but actually just turned into a hot dog. Then Frylock's going to come in, and they're going to talk about it a little bit.
Okay, here we go. Here comes the chair. Close enough.
What are you doing, Meatwad?
Trying to get into shape. Some other shape other than hot dog or igloo. I can't think of nothing here.
You know, there's more than just those two shapes.
There is.
There is. Meatwad is surprised by this. Worth mentioning, you know, you gotta go back to season 1, episode 1's Rabot, where Meatwad turns into the meat bridge. And season 1, episode 12, Meatwad turns into a very realistic Wayne Gretzky. And off the top of my head, going back to Robo-Sitter here, Meatwad, he turned into a sunflower in that episode. Now, in his defense in that one, he was, I guess, stoned out of his mind. So maybe I could understand why he couldn't quite pull that off again. But the point is, it's funny them playing around like he only knows these two shapes when we've seen him turn into some other stuff. And this isn't the first time he's kind of fretted about his shapes, because back in Circus, he was kind of in the same situation, right? Where Randy the Astonishing is like, okay, turn into Meat Mountain here, and Meatwad couldn't, but he was trying to like practice new shapes and stuff like that. So again, here with Meatwad fretting, he's got to figure out some new shapes, and Frylock, he's going to try and help him out, at least for a little bit. So we cut to Frylock's room, and Frylock has a book open full of shapes. He's trying to get Meatwad to turn into an octagon. Meatwad, he's just going to turn into a hot dog, and then Shake's going to come in, and then Meatwad's going to turn into an igloo, and that's kind of the gist of it. Frylock's going to get fed up and leave, but Shake's going to stick around. He's going to help Meatwad out, but it's going to cost him.
Let's try this one. An octagon.
Oh, yeah. Like that Chuck Norris movie.
That ain't Chuck Norris.
Yeah, and it's not an octagon either.
Do octopussy.
Oh, like this here. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Wow.
You know what? I gotta go take a dump.
Oh no, all these shapes just freaking hurting my kidneys. Why can't people just like me for me?
But sadly, no one does. Not even the president. He's a great guy, though.
Look here, if I don't come up with some new shapes, I'm gonna lose my damn job. He says he don't need me. I'd be the first to go.
I have an idea. That will cost you $20.
Okay, so a lot of references here. First of all, I want to work my way backwards. Shake with the $20, that brings me to Rabot as well, where he'll help Carl figure out who killed his car for $20. In this case, he'll help Meatwad with his shapes. Meatwad saying this shape-shifting hurts his kidneys. Well, we established in Season 2, Episode 17's Kidney Car that Meatwad doesn't have any kidneys, but maybe he got some since then. Before that, Frylock says, like, he leaves saying, I gotta go take a dump. That's probably one of my favorite Frylock lines, and what a way to exit a conversation you want nothing to do with. So Frylock headed over to the pile of clothes in the hallway. Before that, Shake tells Meatwad to turn into Octopussy, this being a reference to the 1983 James Bond film Octopussy, this having Roger Moore as James Bond in that flick. And it's so great. I love, like, the timing of it, because Meatwad just turns right into an igloo, and Shake's just like, ooh, yeah, like, Shake's into it. It's really silly, a really fun exchange. Before that, Meatwad references The Octagon, which is a Chuck Norris movie that came out in 1980. This movie with a 5 out of 10 on IMDb and a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes doesn't seem too hot, but it's probably a decent time. I mean, it's Chuck Norris. You can't go wrong with him. Or maybe you can. I don't know. I don't know if I've even seen a Chuck Norris movie, okay? My entire understanding of this man is through memes. But also, I did see him in Walker, Texas Ranger a few times, and I think that was okay enough. So the last thing I want to mention at the very beginning of the clip here, do you like how I worked backwards through this? I think it's kind of annoying. I'm not going to do this again. But at the beginning of the clip, Frylock has this book of shapes. So on the left, we have a parallelogram, a trapezoid, a rhombus, and an octagon. On the right, we have a square, a circle, and then a pentagram. So we have like a pentagram with wings as well. It's very funny. I love that little detail that Bob added. Just a silly little joke there on the page. I never learned about that in geometry class, but I think I did learn about it from my satanic Bible. So moving on here, we're going to have a very interesting transition. Shake is just going to like magically disappear from the scene. And then we just cut to the next one. So we're right outside Carl's house here. Meatwad rings the doorbell. Again, back to Ezekiel, the previous episode. We don't actually see a doorbell on Carl's door. Anyways, Meatwad's going to presumably ring it. We don't see him do it, but we hear it. Carl opens the door and they're going to try and sell him a car wash. And to do so, Meatwad is going to turn into a fist, like a hand, and then a middle finger is going to raise. So Meatwad learned a new shape here. It's a middle finger, and they're going to try and get Carl to get his car washed, but he doesn't need it because Too Wicked just got washed, and it's looking freaking beautiful, okay? I've never seen Too Wicked look this good before. Just chef's kiss. You can't be mad at this beautiful hot rod. Until Shake is going to bring over an excavator, which will dump dirt all over Too Wicked. And then at that point, you know, he's kind of going to have to get it clean.
What do you want?
Get your car washed.
Get your car washed. Get your car washed.
Are you a dumbass going to get your ass whooped?
Are you a dumbass going to get your ass whooped?
Right here and now.
Right here and now.
Really emphasize the now. I mean, you're mad with this guy.
Right here and now, boy.
Now shove him. Physically.
No, that's not necessary. Very thoughtful, though, but, you know, up yours. Because it's too wicked. You don't need no wash right now. I just hit it with a chamois. She's gleaming like the friggin' sun.
So, drop the load.
Yeah!
So can I pencil you in for an appointment?
Poor Carl. It's actually really genius. I love that they're roping Carl into this and making him the person who has to get his car washed. But I guess it makes sense. He's the only person they know with a car. But I love getting Carl involved here. It just feels so natural and not forced or anything like that. And Shake following through here, like he's actually helping Meatwad out with this. He helped him learn a new shape, I guess, but also came up with some copy for Meatwad to read while he's pitching for Carl to come and get his car washed or get his ass beat. One of the two. It's kind of like a trick-or-treat situation, I guess. We heard some shredding there. I have to assume that was Mr. Matt Malero. There's no credits in the episode for that additional music, but, you know, he's a shredder, man. It's got to be him. So the other thing I wanted to address was the excavator that Shake drives in. Now, for example, we saw an excavator back in Season 2, Episode 12's Total Recall. However, this isn't the exact same excavator. It looks to be based on it and very similar, but there's a lot of differences between the two. I'm looking at them back to back. And there's some parts that are similar, but it looks like Bob Pettit just went and made one that looked less cartoony and just more realistic and more in line, especially with these updated assets for the show. You know, like we're getting these backgrounds that are, at this point, from Colin Movie Film for Theaters, at least in regards to the Aqua Teen's house, like the outside shots of Carl's house, things like that. So this just looks a little bit more of this world as opposed to the one in Total Recall from Season 2, which certainly was a lot more cartoony, kind of clip-arty kind of looking. So Bob just taking the chance here to update an asset, I guess. We're going to head back to outside of the car wash, and Meatwad, he's back on the side of the road, but he's trying out his new routine. He's doing his middle finger, he's reading the copy that Shake wrote him, and he's still going to be getting some sodas thrown at him.
y'all a bunch of dumbasses gonna get your ass whooped. Then you go in there and get your car washed. Whoops, not slow, was it? Oh, darling.
Midwan, report to brain quarters. Midwan, report to brain quarters. We have a customer. I repeat, we have a customer.
It's a big day here. We have a customer. It's a momentous occasion at the car wash. Before we head in, though, I mean, it's a momentous time, 6 months in the making. I do want to mention the cups that are thrown at Meatwad, as was in the previous scene when he was on the side of the road. It says Big Swill on it. At least I assume that's what it means. Swill meaning to drink something greedily or in large quantities, which I think fits the vibe that Bob usually goes for with these kinds of things. And we see Meatwad's jam box here. I guess Meatwad has to supply his own equipment in these occasions. But I have to guess that the jam box is purely optional, so Meatwad just chose to bring it in from home. But still, I wonder if he's getting any sort of compensation for bringing his own jam box. Not really sure. So we cut inside. We are back, like, in the main room of the car wash that we were in before. But this time, Carl is there, but he's looking a little bit different. He's not wearing his normal clothes. He's wearing a paper hospital gown, and there's going to be a gurney in there that he'll lay on. And there's also an oxygen tank with a mask that he's going to put on. This oxygen tank and mask being from Season 3, Episode 6's Little Brittle. I know we saw it there, and Carl's got it now.
Better be free, little meat man.
Oh, Carl, it is, believe me.
I want the UV with the triple foam protectorant and the carnauba wax. The good stuff.
You just don't even worry about it. Just sit back on that gurney and, you know, suck from that mask and relax.
All right, then. This is very comfortable here. Wearing the paper gown's a little off-putting, but, you know, I'll go with it.
This is so fucking dumb. But yeah, Carl, he's got that on. We could see Too Wicked, because there's like that big window there where you can see the car getting washed. We see Too Wicked, but notably, it doesn't have the dirt on it anymore. I mean, at this point, it just looks like the normal Too Wicked. But you could assume that when Carl drove it there, that a lot of the dirt all kind of just rubbed off, but he does want it to be rewashed. Because he did get it washed previously, and at the beginning of the clip, he says to Meatwad, this better be free, so he assumes it's just a free car wash, so it does make sense to me why he is here, even though his car looks clean. He wants it to be sparkling like it was before Meatwad and Shake dumped all that dirt on it. I want to go back to talking about the background here, because we do have this, like, vending area where we have some things you could buy for your car. And in the episode, the resolution is too low to make out what any of it says. But thank God for Bob Pettit, man, because he supplied me with the goods. He hooked me up with some high-res shots of this background so I could see exactly what these vending jokes are. So let me break it down for you, all right? There's two machines. Let's talk about the one on the left first, because we're not a manga. And it says Ready Ride. It's spelled R-E-D-D-Y-R-Y-D-E. Then it says Vending Center. And there are three products here that you could buy. The first one is Premium Vinyl Wipes, packet of three. Restores your car's vinyl to like new. That is $1 quarters only. They're all the same price, so I'm not going to repeat that part. The second product is Tire Black. Gives your tires a showroom shine. Pack of three wet wipes. After that, we have Scented Oils Lavender, one soft pack, but there's a bunch of, like, brain stickers on it, and they look to be kind of scratched off. They're very old stickers, it looks like. So that's what the machine on the left says. On the right, it says Air Freshener, Get Fresh, and we see an air freshener. It's in the shape of a brain, and they all are in shapes of brains, this one being green, the big one with a, like, a hot rod behind it. Bob saying the muscle car is probably a stock photo. This one, again, quarters only, and it is $1. So there are a few different flavors here, I guess, a few different scents of air freshener. We have grape, which is a green brain. We have musk, which is a blue brain. Gotta get that musk in your car, that nice musk smell. We have a yellow brain that is coconut, a red brain that is cherry, and then a green brain that is evergreen. So you could assume the big green brain on the front of, or the top of this machine here, is of the evergreen variety. So those are what the machines say. You cannot make them out in the episode, but you can listen to me read them to you now from an email that Bob Pettit sent me. Thanks so much, Bob. Continuing on with our scene, we see here that Meatwad, his job entails more than just dancing on the side of the freeway to get people to come in. He also has to deal with customers, which is what he's doing with Carl. So he's going to run through the list of the aromas that they can imbue into Carl's car. And they got quite the selection here.
When we do the interior, we like to enhance it with an aroma. If you have a favorite aroma you'd like to pick, we'd love to facilitate that.
You got pina colada.
No, I'm afraid not, sir.
No pina colada. Okay, how about strawberry boobs?
No, we ain't got that neither. What we do have is athlete's foot, bloated beach card, and stank breath.
Go through the list again.
Go through the list again. Athlete's foot, bloated beach cod, and stank breath. They don't have pina colada, but they have those. I understand they don't have strawberry boobs, which is what Carl was requesting. But hey, at least they got stank breath. I think I would go with the stank breath above the other three. Meatwad's not going to be able to go through those options again, though, because the car wash process is about to begin. And it starts off relatively normally. We get those wiper things you would see in an automatic car wash. They start kind of cleaning the car until very quickly those go away. And then we see a dumpster hoisted from the ceiling comes through and starts slopping garbage juice all over the car. After that, these mechanical arms come out that are holding cats. There's four cats in total. One looks to be black with white paws, the other being fully black. And then there are two cats that look to be the same. They're just kind of gray and white mix. And these cats are pretty photorealistic looking, too. And basically, they're held above the car, and they just pee all over the car. And then from the ceiling, again, we have this, like, it's a bunch of hammers, like, on a wheel that just go through and smash the car top. After that, we're going to get some gas that's going to come through the ventilation inside the building. We'll see that Meatwad has a gas mask on at this point. I guess he went through training here because Meatwad seems to know everything that's happening. That gas is going to come through. For whatever reason, it's going to affect Carl, even though he has on this oxygen tank mask. Not entirely sure why that is. Regardless, it's a good thing that it affects Carl because he will then be very laid back and not pissed off at what's happening to his car, because his car is getting ruined at this point. And last but not least, they will spray the car with a color of their choosing, which happens to be like a green color, then a lighter green, just kind of like camo colors all over the top of Too Wicked.
Oh, here we go. This is the first part of our patented three-step treatment.
Yeah, that kind of looks like you're just sort of slinging dirt on it.
What it actually is dumpster juice, which is sort of a combination of rainwater and garbage. Very acidic, very harsh on your paint job.
And why are we doing this again?
It's just a pre-coat. I mean, obviously, we need to prep the outer coat for, you know, the cat urine. And, of course, the hammers.
What the frick are you doing?
Hey, Carl, let's lay back down and relax, okay?
What?
Let's allow the mystery gas to do its work. And don't worry, we totally redo the paint in a color of our own choosing.
Whatever. I'm easy.
Carl's easy. I can't say I understand why they had to pipe the gas in when he already was putting a mask on with whatever gas they were feeding to him. Like, they could have just put that gas in the oxygen tank. But regardless, Meatwad pulls out that gas mask, and that is the same exact gas mask that we saw in Season 2, Episode 22's The gas mask that Shake is wearing at the beginning of that episode. Also, to bring up Circus again, the dumpster that we see there, it looks to be like a slightly updated version of the dumpster that we first saw back in Circus in the alleyway that they meet with Randy the Astonishing in. However, in that scene, the dumpster says B422 on it, and now it just says 422 on it. We dropped the B. Look, in 2007, you don't need the B. Get with the times, dumpsters. I really love that whole sequence, though, of seeing the car wash. Of course, it's just so Aquatine-ified and that it's absolutely crazy, that whole segment. Oh, I should mention to the cats, it looks like that gray-white cat is from Colin Movie Film for Theaters in the beginning when Meatwad's going to shoot the kittens out of the cannons. But the black cat's face looks to be different. There is a black cat in that scene as well, but the face looks a little bit different. Regardless, growing up as a kid, I always loved automatic car washes. I don't know that we had one in our town, so whenever we would go through one, it'd be like with my aunt and uncle. Now, usually you stay in the car for these, but as they mentioned in the scene, they're going to be doing Carl's interior as well, which is why Carl is not in the car. He's inside of the car wash talking to Meatwad. But still, always a thrill to go through an automatic car wash. Puts a smile on my face even to this day. I like getting all that stuff sprayed at me, but you're protected. You don't get wet. It's just it's a silly little ride, and these are the little joys in life that have kept me around for so long. This car wash, though, a little bit different than the ones that I'm used to, and we're going to continue to see that because Carl, he is feeling the effects of the gas that was pumped into the room, and then Carl Brain and Carl Jr., they are going to present themselves.
Hello, Carl. I, too, am Carl, and this is my son, Carl Jr. We are all Carl.
Me?
Yes. Neat. Remove his brain.
Oh my god. We see what's going on here. The brains, they are brain hungry. They're gonna remove Carl's brain. This is what it's all been about. It was all a ruse. Meatwad was just a pawn the whole time. Oh my goodness. To take a break from the horror here for a moment, let's talk about some of the music that we heard there. The first piece being Chiller 1, composed by Brian Bennett. And I think this is the first time we've heard this in Aqua Teen. And then the second piece of music is Drama Link 36, also composed by Brian Bennett. But we have heard Drama Link 36 before in Season 2, Episode 1, Super Birthday Snake, and earlier this season in Hand Banana. So, decent amount of music in this episode. And that tends to be the case with the more horror-heavy episodes of Aqua Teen. Now, this isn't exactly, you know, really horror, but there is some stuff, some dark stuff going on here, as we will continue to see. So, Carl got his dang brain removed. Do you think that he needs that? And I guess he's kind of like a chicken, in that, like, a chicken, and as long as they have their brain stem, they can still live. Because Carl's still alive. He's just not his normal self. We're in the front of Carl's house now, back in the neighborhood. And Carl's fucked up car is there, and an even more fucked up Carl is on his knees with his brain visibly missing, and he is licking the car. It's a little freaky to me, but not to Shake, because Shake's gonna run up there with a camcorder trying to film this.
I wonder if you could get the whole thing in your mouth.
Shake runs up there with a smile on his face. You have to wonder how Carl's car got home. Especially because it doesn't seem particularly drivable right now. But hey, somehow it got back. We're going to cut inside where Meatwad's there. He's not very happy. And Frylock's going to ask him what's going on. How's work?
Hey, Meatwad, how's the job going?
Just okay.
Carl washed his car there, didn't he? You got your first customer, right?
Yeah, but...
But what?
I'm having some reservations about this work. Have some nightmares.
Nightmares?
Well, there was a time in my life when I thought dancing in front of the car wash, that'd be the only thing I'd ever want to do. Oh no, the way these people wash cars, I just don't know anymore.
Well, Carl seems happy with it. Is he licking it?
Yeah, he's been doing that all morning, I'm afraid.
Okay, so it's revealed that it's been some time that Carl's been out there licking the car. I love in this universe that nobody thinks to, like, call the police or anything. Like, hey, there's a guy out here licking his car all morning. And also, it looks like he's missing his brain. They always make the Aqua Teen's neighborhood out to seem kind of bad, but visually, it never really is. Like, all the houses are pretty nice except for the Aqua Teen's house. And Carl's has got some grime on it, but it's still a relatively nice house. I always wondered how it would go if Matt and Dave took the South Park approach and kind of explored the neighborhood more, explored these other potential neighbors and things like that. Hey... They just made some new Aqua Teens last year. There's still time for it. So Frylock saw that there's something weird about Carl. So Frylock and Meatwad, they're going to go outside and join Carl and Shake.
You know, snakes, in the wild, of course, have to unhinge their jaw to eat a car. I think the trouble with you is that you have all that skin around your mouth.
Shake?
What? He's doing it?
Carl.
Carl.
Carl?
Carl.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Someone's taking Carl's brain.
Someone.
That is what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, you haven't been very specific about it.
I know. I haven't. Because they says if I tell no one, I'm going to lose my job dancing in front of the car wash.
Well, I tell you what. It's a little late for that because we're going to do something about it right now.
Look here. We can keep this cool between us. Because, look, this is the third job I lost this week.
Third job I lost.
We're going to go get us a car wash.
Get us a car
wash. Are you out of your mind? They take your brain out over there.
I know that.
They take your brain out over there. Yeah, I got a coupon.
That's okay, Carl. I got the employee discount. A free triple foam polish with the UV protector.
Come on, Shake.
Come on with you. I'm trying to create a show here.
I'm a show.
What time does the show come on?
Stupid meatwad. What time does your show come on? Like, he's already invested in this potential show that Shake is trying to make. Whatever it is, Carl just licking his car. At the beginning of that clip, I didn't tell you that Shake hands Carl a knife. It's kind of like a military-looking knife. I don't recall seeing this one in any previous episodes, but he's like, yeah, you know, you have to cut your mouth to unhinge your jaw more to get that car in your mouth. Poor Carl, man. Carl has to put his car in his mouth because he lost his brain to Carl Brain at the car wash. It's some tough stuff here. Shake talking about snakes, though, does bring me back to Super Birthday Snake, because he says in that episode something to the effect of, like, yeah, like, the French, they unhinge their jaw to show love. Like, that's what's going on here. And again, he's talking about snakes unhinging their jaws to fit cars in their mouths, which I don't think has ever happened before. I feel bad for Meatwad, because he knows what's going on here is wrong. He knows that this isn't right. But he has to go along with it to keep his job, which is certainly a position that many people have been in. Obviously, hopefully not to this degree of stealing somebody's brain. But when you know your place of employment is up to some shady shit, but you gotta go along with it because, hey, you need money to live. And in this episode, so does Meatwad. We hear that Meatwad lost two other jobs already this week. So I don't know if that implies that Meatwad's only been at the car wash for a week. But I have to wonder what those two other jobs that he lost are. I'm not sure. Typically, when we hear Meatwad has a job, it's something that he himself is doing, like Ultra Mega Braid. He decided to be a salesman for that. Meatwad's pressure washing business. Like, he tried to start his own business. But here, he is an employee, and it seems like Meatwad does better when he is self-employed, although those self-employed jobs don't seem to ever go that well either. But this episode of Aqua Teen, also not the first Aqua Teen episode to have somebody losing their brain. I am thinking to Season 1, Episode 14's Dumber Days, when Steve gets his brain taken out because Carl's friend Terry hooks Meatwad up with a brain. And hey, since we're talking about things that happened in previous Aqua Teen episodes, we're going to get a classic staple of Aqua Teen episodes, which is Frylock kind of leading the charge to take down a villain in an episode. For example, Season 1, Episode 9's MCP Pants. But we see it all the time, right? I mean, I talk about that on the podcast constantly, that Frylock is usually the driver of change and forwarding the plot in Aqua Teen. That's what's happening here. But before that, we're going to cut to the car wash before the Aqua Teens show up. And we see on the side of the road here, Meatwad's not there, of course, but we do see Carl's brain. So the brain is just laying there on the side of the road, and Meatwad's jambox is there. I guess he's been leaving it at work, and the brains are just using it. Worth mentioning, there are also the big swill cups on the ground. I assume people are throwing more cups at the brain as they drive past. But Carl's brain also has on the Statue of Liberty getup. It has on the spiky hat, and then it has the torch and the tablet. But the torch and tablet are noticeably smaller because it's just a little brain there. And Carl Brain, he's not going to like the job that Carl's brain is doing.
New brain slave refuses to report to brain quarters.
And I'm on a brain, eh?
As are we, son. And we do our job.
You're right.
Go on and fetch this brain slave. And kindly ask him to be on bug removal. Permanently.
Brain slave getting in trouble. He's not very good at his job because, well, he's just a brain. But to that brain, I do want to say, that brain is an Aqua Teen OG, all right? That is the brain we saw in Season 1, Episode 5's Balloonenstein. You may recognize it as the leader of Lost Brain Jellies or whatever Shake does. And then it's also the same one that we see in Dumber Days as Meatwad's brain, although it's like decorated with glitter and stuff in that episode. But this is a brain we have seen a few times throughout Aqua Teen. And you know what? We're seeing it again here. Again, I love Jim Fortier's delivery as this Carl Brain Jr. character. He says, "Ain't nothing but a brain, daddy. You're right, daddy, you're right." It's so fucking stupid. Lil Carl Jr. was headed out to get the brain slave there, but we cut to outside and we see that the Aqua Teens are there with Carl. So basically the way this is staged is pretty interesting. Essentially, we have Too Wicked, right? It's all fucked up still. Carl is laying on Too Wicked because he's incapable of walking due to not having his brain. Shake is in the car. He's the one steering it, I guess. But if you, like, pause on this frame and look, you can see they just kind of, like, cut Shake's head in half and just stuck it on the car. It doesn't really make sense how he's looking out of this or anything like that. And then we have Frylock and Meatwad pushing the car. I feel like there was a better way for them to, like, get there, but this is what they chose to do. They're coming up. Carl Jr. is going to alert Carl Brain about it. They're going to have to do something about these Aqua Teens.
Get my blue Frightwig at once. Greet them with a smile, son. A hard, plastic smile.
All right, so now is a good point to get into the voice on this that Dave is doing for Carl Brain. Now, this is similar to the one he did back in 99 on Space Ghost Coast to Coast, this being Dave doing his best version of Orson Welles in Orson's famously abusive performance doing a radio ad for frozen peas.
Here under protest is beef burgers. We know a little place in the American Far West where Charlie Briggs chops up the finest prairie-fed beef and tastes. This is a lot of shit, you know that.
So I'll put a link to that in the description to this episode if you would like to hear the clip that Dave is referencing here. But that's what Dave is trying to do for this character. It's very funny. But rumor has it that this voice was re-recorded from the rough draft. And I say that because over on the Toon Zone forum, which we will dig into a little bit momentarily here once we're done covering the episode, User The Mist brings up how the episode was changed. So The Mist says that they changed Carl Brain's voice. And then somebody asked, what was the voice like before? Because the voice they have now seems to be the same voice they used in the Space Ghost episode. So I would imagine he was always supposed to sound like that. The Mist responds saying, it almost sounded like Ignignacht mixed with the Seth MacFarlane voice for Wayne the Brain McClane. I'm not sure. It might still be up at Glath if you want to hear it. I thought it was a funnier voice, even if this one is the one from Space Ghost. So yeah, The Mist here saying that it seemed to be a different voice. I guess that Glath, I'm assuming, is some sort of streaming site back in the day, like a YouTube alternative or something. So I want to be clear here that all we have are people saying that it was changed. I don't want you to think it 100% was. In fact, I have an idea of what maybe happened. So we can assume, and we kind of know, that the audio on the rough cut wasn't finalized. Well, it's totally possible that they did something to Dave's voice in the final version that they didn't do in that rough cut, and that's what makes people think the voices are different. In fact, I can hear processing on Dave's voice as Carl Brain. It sounds like they dropped the pitch at least, and I'm sure they applied some other processing. So it could very well be that these processings are what make people think it's a different take. So let me play you some audio from the episode real quick.
Hello, Carl. I, too, I'm Carl, and this is my son, Carl Jr.
All right, now let me pitch it up a little bit so it's closer to how Dave actually would have read this before the processing.
Hello, Carl. I, too, am Carl, and this is my son, Carl Jr.
So it's totally possible in the rough draft that Dave's voice was closer to that, which is, again, in more of his natural range as opposed to being manipulated like it is in the episode. So maybe that's what people mistook for being a re-recording. These are all just guesses, of course. I don't have access to this rough draft, so we may never know. Anyways, though, back to our scene. Carl Brain was telling Carl Jr. to don his, like, hard plastic smile. And we're going to see that in our next clip now. We are back outside with the Aqua Teens, and now Carl Jr. is talking to them about the car wash. And he looks the same. He still has the googly eyes, the doll cap, but he also has on now like a Mr. Potato Head smile.
Have a free dashboard cleaning, get the lint balls on your car, you get your free tire shower, you'll get all that for free with the free brand removal.
Moron, do not tell them.
I better say car wash.
Now gas them quickly.
So that is Carl Brain saying gas them quickly, but that's not going to happen. He's used to just gassing people, but doesn't quite work when they're outside. But all right, let's just jump back in because Frylock is going to have a response to this. And then Carl Brain is going to show himself to the Aqua Teens here. He's going to come outside as well. But this time he is donning googly eyes himself as well as a blue wig, which is pretty nonsensical here, but actually makes sense if you have seen the Shambrain episode of Space Ghost. So finally, our heroes, the Aqua Teens, are going to have some choice words with these brain characters.
Look, I just came by to tell you that I told the police about your little brain operation.
Yeah, and they didn't believe us.
No, they didn't.
Then we shall call them and show them pictures.
You know, brain, you've been smart here, but that's a good idea, didn't you?
It is a very good idea.
Where's Carl's brain?
I am Carl Brain.
Carl.
No, Carl's brain.
I am Carl Brain.
Carl. No. Different Carl, okay?
I am Carl
Brain. My friend Carl, his Carl. Brain.
Behind you.
Is that Carl's brain? Over there? On the expressway?
Beware, for it will immediately seize you upon my command. And your mind will be enslaved to forever. Barless the chrome at this wash. Car wash.
This is retarded.
Oh, it's not even retarded,
it? Stop him, at once. From calling me retarded.
Too late, he did it. He got away.
Too late, he did it, he got away. I don't know why Jim Fortier doesn't do more stuff on Mike. In fact, Dave Willis expressed the same sentiment to me. He said that Jim is microphone shy for some reason. Dave says, I don't get it because he's a great performer. He also played Dewey Duval, early Kyler's mortal enemy, in Squidbillies. And also, I should say, as of this recording, recently, Jim Fortier also did the Leprechaun in Season 12, Episode 4's Get Lit Upon a Sit Upon, which is falsely attributed to me over on Wikipedia. I did the shop clerk in that episode, and I explicitly said that multiple places, but for whatever reason, somebody on Wikipedia also credited me as the Leprechaun. I don't know why. But also, Jim Fortier is not even credited on that episode. So I guess I get the confusion, but also I don't know why somebody would just decide that I did that. You know what I think it is? I think this is goddamn racism. Just because my last name is Neely, because I have an Irish last name, well, I must have did the Leprechaun then, right? Yeah, well, top of the morning to ya, and you could fuck right off then. All right, that was kind of closer to Scottish. But anyways, I asked Dave what Jim's inspiration for this might be. Dave said that, I don't know what inspired Jim's performance as Carl Jr. Jim rarely does voices, so it was a coup to get him to do that voice. And you know what? I'm glad he did it. I like the back and forth we get in that previous scene between Carl Brain and Frylock talking about Carl's brain. And to me, it's funny because Matt and Dave explicitly, like, they knew what they were doing here. They decided to bring back these characters. Of course, when that Space Ghost episode was made, Carl from Aqua Teen was not a character yet. But, like, they decided, like, hey, let's bring those characters back, basically so that they could do this joke of this convoluted, like, Carl's brain. No, I'm Carl Brain. No, Carl's brain. It's like a stupid who's on first bit, but Aqua Teenified. So, like, to me, the joke itself isn't that funny, but the fact that Matt and Dave insisted on doing it is pretty dang silly. But all right, let's wrap up here with our last clip of the episode. We're going to see Master Shake kind of pushing Carl off. He's going to try and get him to eat his own brain. Just such fucked up undercurrents in this episode, but I like that they don't dwell on it too much. So Shake's going to do that, and then we're going to get some kind of, like, false exits from the brain characters, where they're going to kind of keep, like, flying away, then coming back down to say stuff.
Go eat your brain now, Carl.
Oh, look at that. It's dinner time.
Oh, no, you don't. Where do you think you're going?
Home, now get out of here. We are closed. We open at 10 tomorrow.
Thank you.
So visually, we have the brain characters flying to a planet with a head of hair on it. And that is, again, in reference to the Space Ghost Coast to Coast episode, where that's where they live on that episode. We see a bit more of that planet there, but I love that they bring that planet back as well. And actually, they also do a little bit of a nod to that in the credits here. The end credits are altered in a very subtle way. There's a shot in the end credits when we see the moon usually. Well, this time they have that head of hair on the moon as well. So a fun nod to the hair planet here, to the brains. I want to mention the music there that we heard for the brains. And we heard that earlier in the episode as well. And this is the same music that they used in Chambrain. The song is Invaders from Space, composed by Danny Pelfrey and Rick Rhodes. And we heard this before in Aqua Teen 2. Speaking of Circus, we've mentioned Circus a lot in this episode. We heard that in Circus, too, once we see Randy the Astonishing's dad. They play that music as well, that creepy Space Invader music. But that is Carl Wash in classic Aqua Teen fashion. It ends with just, like, nothing really, like, nothing resolves. In fact, with in my email here with Dave, he says, weird episode, very space ghosty in terms of how little actually happens, which makes sense since it's based on a space ghost episode, which is a great way to put it. And I really like this episode, and I think that's why, because not a whole lot happens here, so it's more focused on just silly dialogue and things like that as opposed to just some sort of action taking place. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Before I give you my thoughts, let's hop on over to the Toon Zone forum and see what was being said about this episode the week that it premiered. And of course, we already touched on what The Mist had to say, kind of giving us a peek into what may have been cut from the rough draft version. So The Mist did say, saw it a little while after it first aired on Glath. Great episode, lots of hilarious moments, including the one in the commercial. Then The Mist goes on to quote, where's Carl's brain? I am Carl Brain. No, Carl's brain. I am Carl Brain. No, 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 no. Different Carl, okay? I am Carl Brain. The Mist quotes that, right? And that is in the episode verbatim. But then The Mist later goes on to say in this thread that that joke was cut alongside Dave's voice being re-recorded in the final version. But that joke is not cut. It's in the episode exactly. So that kind of knocks some credibility from The Mist. However, I found somebody else mirroring what The Mist says. We have user Digital Pat, who comes in with, I thought this episode was one of the best I've seen in a while, but that was before they changed Carl Brain's voice. The voice made the episode great. It is still a pretty funny episode. I'm just puzzled as to why they tweaked it. I did like what they added to the jam box, but was kind of disappointed in the voice change. As the saying goes, if it ain't broke, why fix it? And I think the saying, this is Ronnie, I think the saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But all right, there is another confirmation at least that they seem to have changed Carl Brain's voice. And I'm realizing now the subtlety of these two takes, which is The Mist saying they re-recorded it while Digital Pat just saying that they tweaked it, which does fall in line with what I said earlier of the rough draft. They probably just didn't process Dave's voice yet to make it closer to that Space Ghost Coast to Coast episode. Overall, it seems like people liked this one. It wasn't like a favorite of most people, but a lot of people gave it like a B-ish score. I want to end on a middle-of-the-road kind of negative review by JBanks97, who says, it really was okay at best. I'm glad they used the brains from Chambrain again, one of my favorite space ghosts, but they barely did anything with them. I would have hoped they would have come up with something better than an entire episode about how they and Fat Balding Carl are all named Carl. Jay Banks then gives the episode a C-. I don't think that's really fair regarding the joke about, like, Carl's brain, Carl brain, because they don't dwell on that. Like, the whole episode isn't about that. The episode is really about Meatwad getting a job and kind of dealing with that. Then we get some fun Carl torture thrown in. Then we have Frylock just confronting these guys while Shake is also trying to make his own TV show. They don't dwell on that. It's interesting to me that Jay Banks really focused on that one joke, but regardless, that's some of the conversation. As always, link in the description to this episode if you want to read this whole thread back from March of 2007. So on to my thoughts here. I mean, as you can tell, I enjoy this episode. I'm a Meatwad freak, and this one's got lots of Meatwad, except for the end. Frylock really takes over in the last couple scenes there. Meatwad doesn't even say anything, really, to the brains after that, but some fun moments from all the Aqua Teens. I like the way that they get Carl involved, namely because he's the only character they know with a car. some great animation with the whole car washing bit. And I think they kind of, you know, because they didn't have to animate mouths on the brain characters, you know, they could probably move resources elsewhere onto that animated segment of the car wash, which is a lot of fun. Just absolute absurdity. I mean, like in Dave's email, he said not a whole lot happens. And I think that's why I like this one. And that's what a lot of my favorite Aqua Teen episodes are like, where it's like there's a basic premise and they just joke around with it. And that's what they're doing here. It's neat that they brought back these Space Ghost characters from a very popular Space Ghost episode. It's a really great one. And I should mention, if you listen to the Patreon episode, you know this, that the Carl Brain character in that 99 episode of Space Ghost was Dave Willis's, according to him, like his first big voice role on that show and on television in general. Now, he did some voices here and there, but that was his first time, according to him, playing like this big character. So this Carl Brain character, as you can imagine, pretty important to Aqua Teen Hunger Force, as Dave goes on to voice Carl and Meatwad, two of the main characters, that he, in a way, kind of cut his teeth on Carl Brain back in Space Ghost. So I like seeing that character here. I like that there are nods to that Space Ghost episode, like with the planet. We also see the brains wearing like similar outfits and stuff. But at the same time, like, you don't have to have seen that Space Ghost episode to enjoy this, because it's just already so absurd that it's a cool, like, you know, Easter egg moment, but you don't have to have seen that Space Ghost episode. I surely didn't the first time I saw Carl Wash. I didn't know anything about that Space Ghost episode, but I still enjoyed it. In fact, not knowing those characters could maybe make it more enjoyable in a certain way, because it just seems even more random without that context of where these characters come from and some of their references throughout the episode. Something to mention here is that this is our last episode of the season. This is the last season 4 episode. And I think it does a good job as a season ender. It's not trying to be ambitious like season 2's The Last One, where we have all these returning villains, or season 3's Carl, aka Spacegate World, where it's like a Carl-centric episode. It's kind of like a classic Aqua Teen episode, and just does things very well, which I just enjoy. It feels more like a classic kind of Aqua Teen episode from around season 2, again, because of the fact that it's very dialogue-driven. But there's still things that happen in it, and things that could have only happened in season 4. Like, I think the degree to which Carl is disabled, I guess, that we see because of his brain being removed, I don't see them doing in at least the first 2 seasons, at least. Also want to mention, there's like an eeriness to Carl when he's missing his brain. They almost animate his face differently, it looks like. I don't know, it's pretty off-putting, but done very well for what is going on in that scene. Another trivia point is that this is our last standard definition episode of Aqua Teen. Colon movie film comes out in a month, and then after that, all the episodes are widescreen. With the exception of the Boston episode, although that was never officially released. Like, it was, you know, pulled during production, so it makes sense that what we have of that is in 4:3. But all in all, I love this episode. I love Carl Wash so much. I think I gotta give it 5 Musk air fresheners out of 5. I just enjoy this one. It's one I've been looking forward to covering. We got some good Meatwad moments here. I'm a simple guy to please. That's all it takes. 5 Musk fresheners, okay? How about that? So that is it for me this week. That is it for season 4 of Aqua Teen. Now, having said that, I'm still going to do an episode ranking over on YouTube, and we will be doing our season 4 retrospective, where we talk about the season in a more general sense. So, still some season 4 discussion to come, but until then, thanks so much for hanging out with me, talking teens with me. Thank you to our friends Bob Pettit and Dave Willis for their correspondence on this one. Thank you to Liv and Tegan for signing up to the Patreon. Again, that is patreon.com/dancingisforbidden, especially if you want to hear that Chambrain episode. But also, there's like a bunch of other stuff over there. We're doing watch parties now, Discord access. It's a good time. And you know what? Above anything, it allows me to keep doing this podcast. Thanks to everybody signed up over there, including our Highlander Nick.
There can be only one!
There's only one time so far in Aqua Teen where we see Meatwad is gainfully employed, just like there's only one Nick. Also want to shout out our number one in the Hood G-tier patrons, Sean, Ian, Captain Buford, Robison, Jason, Carl, Lesheratone69, Empower706, SwimWiki, Lervinator, Thorin the Grumpy Dwarf, Garrick, Jonathan, and Calixto. You guys can get your ass whooped any day of the week. I'll see you April 22nd for a very fun interview with Aqua Teen legend Matt Jenkins. He's got all sorts of stories about the animation industry in Atlanta, Clay Croker, Aqua Teen, all sorts of stuff. Excited to share it with you. Till then, keep it cool, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Hey, do octopussy.
Oh, like this here. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Wow.
You know what? I gotta go take a dump.